the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith in the Baton Rouge studio with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Hey, guys.
Glad to be
good
person.
Morning. Yeah. Oh, it's like old time.
I'm holding my cup of coffee very closely this morning. It was an early morning for me. And Johnny Aber joins us over the phone. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to be with you. It's a beautiful morning.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Well, before we get started, Johnny, if you don't mind leading us off in prayer today.
You bet. And let's call on St. Joseph Calasanz. And he founded the Piarists, who educated and cared for neglected homeless children. Mm-hmm. So we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who calls the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that amid the uncertainties of this world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen.
Saint Joseph. Pray for us.
And looking forward to Johnny's insights on the gospel. That'll come up in just a few more minutes. I'm excited to talk to author Maggie Green. She has a book called The St. Monica Club, How to Hope, Wait, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved Ones.
Yeah.
I know so many people in this position who have children, maybe a spouse. I think they need to read the St. Monica Club. She's a wonderful saint.
And I think we all feast could read
day, that. Her you? Feast day is tomorrow,
that's
too.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
so
right.
Perfect timing.
Appropriate.
It is.
Yes. David Dawson Jr. is talking about being intentional about your morning routine. Okay, I love my morning routine. I can't wait to hear Dave.
We may have to see if you follow what he suggests.
Maybe. Maybe there's a rubric or something that we can all follow. Vivian Dudrow with Ignatius Press. Ignatius Press is coming out with so many good books for the fall. Yeah. And she has a new book called, she is an editor of Ignatius Press, and the new book is called St. Joseph, Watch Over My Family. It's a children's book, and it's so adorable.
It is precious.
I love it. I know we're keeping an eye on the Gulf.
Yeah, tropical disturbance down there right now. We're keeping an eye on. Fortunately, it's not going to bother us over the weekend. And maybe the outer bands, depending on what direction it goes into. But in the meantime, we're going to get rain, whether we have a tropical disturbance or not. Today and tomorrow, 60, 70, 80% chance of rain, depending on where you are in our listening area. And that will continue through Friday. So cloudy this morning. You'll see clouds starting to move in if you haven't already. Winds are coming out of the east southeast at 10 to 15 miles an hour. High is going to be 86, low 72. And as I said, expect the same for tomorrow. Temperature wise, New Orleans, the hot spot right now, 81. It's not going to get much hotter than that, though, even though we're going to get a lot of humidity. Over in Houma Thibodaux, it's 76. Biloxi, 80. Our friends over in Luling, Gwen Bergeron and Company, 78 degrees. And here in Baton Rouge, it's 75 right now and fair skies.
Nice. Yeah, Our Lady of Prompt Succor hastened to help us.
Yes, we need to be praying and asking
and
her for intercession.
Lake Charles, y'all. I just can't, you know.
We were talking about that last night.
Well, they're right now anywhere between Brownsville and Pensacola.
That's what I've seen.
If you want, it's
Beaumont.
Houston and Mobile.
Yeah, I saw Beaumont too.
It changes so many times.
Yeah,
it just
it's so far out.
We just keep on thinking about our friends in Lake Charles.
They're still in a bad fix,
y'all. We need to keep praying for them.
Keep them in prayer. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The house of our lives is extremely fragile, not only in the sense of the shortness of this life, but especially in the sense that it is constantly being exposed to being broken into by the external threats of Satan and his henchmen, the world, and corrupted by our own disordered appetites. In contrast, Jesus declared, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." This means that the Creator's word, which brought everything into existence, is infinitely more powerful and lasting than any particular thing. Whatever is truly permanent lasts solely because it abides in Him. One lesson of history is that people and things, even mighty civilizations, pass away into footnote status, if that. However, God's word remains as the constant principle of stability and existence. In today's gospel, we are confronted with the image of Jesus as a thief. In our attempt to wrap our minds around this idea, we may begin to understand that our problem with the concept is rooted in our clutching to our existence as if it belonged by rights to ourselves and no one else. Therefore, anyone coming to claim it from us, even Jesus himself, is going to feel to us like a thief. Anticipating our reaction, Jesus casts himself with considerable humor in the role of a thief. The saints, with their passionate, heroic love, got it. And therefore, they understood that they were called to turn the tables on Jesus with the daring of the women of the Gospels, the Canaanite woman, Mary Magdalene, the woman at Jacob's well, the widow of Nain, and of course, our Blessed Lady herself. St. Therese of Lisieux also got it. She said on her deathbed, "He will come and steal me away in the nicest way possible. Oh, how I'd love to aid the thief." As the death was close, she added, "How can I be afraid of someone I love so much?" Oh, may we learn to love like that. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Hey, guys, well, stay awake. Isn't that our theme for the wake-up show?
That's right, Johnny.
I think it is, too. You know, last week we were talking about being saved and how you can say, well, Christians, we say we were saved initially through baptism, a good beginning, but that we're being saved by putting our faith into action with our love and our deeds, as Jimmy was talking about. And today we're hearing in gospel that you will be saved, we will be saved, if we persevere to the end. You know, in other words, as Catholics, we say this, you know, you're going to be judged, we are going to be judged on the state of our soul at the time of our death, which means we should always be ready in every way. That's what our Lord's telling us. Be ready for Him, you know, not in fear, but in joyful anticipation. Exactly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you may have heard that story about the three apprentice devils who were asked by Satan, "How would you get people into hell?" He asked each one of them. And the first said he'd tell them there is no God. And the second apprentice devil said he'd tell them there's no hell. And the third one said, he just tell us there's no hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Screw tapes, right, Johnny?
Wow.
Yeah. So I think all three are present. But Jesus gives us a sure sign to know when the evil one is among us. And what is that one defining characteristic where he throws the wicked servant out there with all the rest? And that one is hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Hypocrisy. So that's the thing we have to avoid. And, you know, hypocrisy meaning, in Greek, like a performer acting with a mask, one whose profession doesn't match their practice, who says one thing and does another. And so in the realm of faith, then, hypocrites come to believe that they, not God, not his church, are the owner of the master's house. God's not here. And they pretend then to be moral, even kind of creating new moral codes that go against the divine law, go against objective truths, using virtuous words to hide evil plans. And so we have to be aware of these flags and make sure that's not us. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's some examples. Those who clamor about equality, diversity, and inclusion, but then they silence and smear the long-held beliefs and truths of Christians and peoples of other faiths.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is anyone more diverse than the Catholic Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about those in the name of tolerance push to suppress freedom of religion in order to implement their own kind of secular form of religion? Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, Christians, you can't force your beliefs on us. We'll tell you what's okay to say and believe, right?
I see that so much. And, it seems like you can't turn anywhere without we're seeing that more.
Well, there's
and more.
The goalpost is always going to be moved.
Yes.
And it's always going to be the next trend and the next thing you should believe or the next thing you should be a part of. So you're right, Johnny.
Yeah, and it's such filled with hypocrisy. They say believe in science, but then reject basic biological facts regarding human sexuality. I'm going to stand up for women's rights, but only those they agree with politically. And how about the young girls in the womb?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just goes on and on, with terms of the hypocrisy. So what's our chore here, right, is to make our souls ready for the Lord, to see these hypocrisy in the world, to stay awake, to seek virtue, holiness, and to proclaim the truth and beauty of the Catholic faith today, tomorrow, and to the very end. It's likely we will see the Lord before he comes again. So let's just make our souls are indeed ready for the bridegroom to come, right?
Amen. That's right.
Wow.
Well, stay with us. Hey, talking about waiting and persevering, Maggie Green's going to join us next to talk about that when it comes to our loved ones who have left the church. Stay with us. It's 7:15 now on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 26th. Today we celebrate St. Joseph Calasanz. Fortune alternately smiled and frowned on the work of today's saint during his 92 years on this earth. Born in 1556, Joseph became a priest and was widely respected for his wisdom and administrative skills. But he also heard a call that took him in new and uncharted directions. In 1597, Joseph founded a free school for the poor children of urban Rome. The response was overwhelming, and within a few years, there were more than 1,200 students. Popes Clement VIII and Paul V strongly supported his efforts. More schools opened, and more men joined Joseph in his unique apostolate. The group was given formal recognition as a religious community, the Clerks Regular of Religious Schools, or the Pieris. During Joseph's lifetime, the group underwent much turmoil due to a combination of prejudice and internal political ambitions. Repeatedly investigated by papal commissions, he also was demoted from his leadership role. For a time, the Pieris were suppressed. They regained their official status only after Joseph's death in 1648. He was canonized in 1767. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. And you can download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Type in Catholic Community Radio, and we've surpassed earlier this week 4,000 downloads.
That's awesome.
So thank you so much for those who are tuning into our app, who've downloaded our app. Thank you so much. We see you. I know who you are. but, you know, I do want to say, make sure that you do search Catholic Community Radio, because there are so many Catholic apps. I didn't realize how many Catholic apps there were until I started helping people at conferences search for the app. So make sure that you search those three words. And last but not least, follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio, and we're on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. So lots of ways to connect with us. I'm excited to welcome our next guest, Maggie Green. She's talking about her book called The Saint Monica Club, How to Hope, Wait, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved Ones. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
I was so excited to talk about this book because I think, well, I actually know so many people in this mm-hmm. position who are constantly praying for their loved ones to return to the church. Maybe they're really having a hard time with what's going on in the church. And they have parents, and a lot of them are mothers, mm-hmm. praying yeah, for their souls. So tell us a little bit about the St. Monica Club.
Well, first of all, it's a club that no one really wants to be a member of, at least when you wake up and find yourself there. Yeah. But what this book is a book of accompaniment for those who are praying for someone to return. Because when I found myself a card-carrying member of this prestigious institution that no one talks about, I looked around for support, and I found things talking about apologetics. I found things talking about how to engage your the person that you love that's removed from the church. But I didn't find something that really wrestled with the grief that you go through. Because you want all of your family in the pew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're a grandmother, you want your children baptized, your grandchildren baptized. If you're a spouse, you want your beloved to be there with you. You want everybody at the Eucharistic table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate goal. And if you're a parent and your child leaves the faith because they become an adult, you kind of feel like you failed as a Catholic. Because the first promise you make with baptism is to raise them in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, and you will go through and kind of armchair quarterback yourself uncharitably about everything you've done to see if you caused this problem.
Mm.
And that's displaced. It's not appropriate, but we still do it because that's what we do.
Because we're parents.
Right?
That's what
right.
we do.
You know, yes. And then you start bargaining with God. As at one point I wrote, and I did rosaries like a chain smoker. and you do that because you're kind of desperate, and you do. It's like it has to happen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And so this is why Saint Monica is so important, because her son converted at the age of 31.
Yes.
So, yes. You know, long time patient, 17 years.
Wow. Yes. I wasn't introduced to, I was telling Alicia this before the show, I wasn't introduced to St. Monica and St. Augustine until college. In a world history class, we read his confessions. And St. Augustine had a lot of problems. I'm like, okay, where's this? Yeah. When's the saint part? I'm getting ready. Each confession was just okay. And St. Monica really never gave up on him. Maggie, in this book, do you talk about your experiences here to give parents and grandparents hope?
Well, I do not personalize it because that's part of why I took a pen name of Maggie, because this is not my children's story.
Oh.
This is the story of every heart that aches for someone else to return to the church. I do have moments that I share, but you know, the reasons why children leave or spouses leave or people reject the church are as myriad as the people themselves.
Yes,
and I didn't want this to be idiosyncratic, where if you didn't see your child's reason for leaving the church, that this is not for you. This is about what to do, really, with your own spiritual life to feed yourself so that you can be a perpetual witness of the faith without proselytizing.
Okay, so I went to Catholic school my whole life, March for Life with all of my friends and you know, family members would join in. And then once college started, some of us stayed and some of us explored you know, other things in the world. But what I'm hearing as a young person right now is obviously there's a lot of things going on in the church that are just, it keeps happening and happening and happening. Like the church is going through some cleanse right now.
Sure.
Maggie, how do parents who are the children are like, okay, well, what's going on in the church right now? This is not okay. How do you give the parents hope to explain that? You know, the church is going through a purification. It is not okay, but the church
is not okay.
You know, it is right. Not justifying the actions, but saying, you know, keep your eyes focused on the Eucharist, which I think, and St. Joseph, you know, how do you help parents in situations like that?
Well, that's the reality is that the church is peopled with sinners. We are sinners. And we mess up.
Right.
We mess up as individuals. We mess up as an institution. We mess up. Jesus started with 12 and knew at Holy Thursday they were going to mess up. He prayed for them, but he said, "You're going to be sifted like going to be sifted." Well, guess what? We're going to be sifted. Own it. We're peopled with sinners. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Christ. If we were able to do this perfectly, we would not need a salvation.
There you go.
Another reason, or another way I'm thinking is a non-confrontational way. I think a lot of parents, like when it comes to family gatherings, oh, Joe's coming today, and we know Joe at this family dinner is falling away from the church, and then it's a bombardment when Joe walks through the door.
Right.
You know,
I
think that's an instinct.
Nobody wants to be badgered. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Jesus fed the 5,000, and he didn't sit there and interview each one of them. Okay, you can sit.
That's right.
So that's how I would look at it, is that you set the table, you love your child.
Right.
You are not going to evangelize your child by badgering them or arguing them. You don't see in the gospel anybody decide, I'm going to follow Jesus because he argued me out of my position.
Isn't that the truth? Right.
People decide to follow Jesus because they recognize that he loves them and he speaks the truth. But it is a both and. And you can't, when you invite them over, you invite them over because you want to be present to them.
Yeah.
And you let your witness of your life do the talking.
Yeah. I've been in situations where I've been in a room where, you know, the mother is badgering or crying almost, and it's almost like the child just wants to leave the room and say, I'm not coming to family dinners anymore, I'm not coming to family events
just
anymore,
push away,
which I think, like we said, instinct. It's so hard to not want to be like that, I guess, as parents, from what I've seen.
Well, it's hard to meet them where they're at,
right?
And then
and
lead by example, and hopefully whether you or someone they're close to all of a sudden illuminates that love and light to where, hey, maybe I do need to get back to the church. You're not going to do it by beating them over the head. You're going to do it either through other folks and letting God do his work in the Holy Spirit.
You know, the beauty of Maggie's book, I think, is to let people know, because we all know someone who is suffering because they have a family member who has fallen away. But the beauty of Maggie's book is to know you're not alone, right, Maggie? That St. Monica, what a powerful intercessor. And an amazing, amazing person to be in a club with, right?
Yes. She's the head, the president of it. And look what happens when you pray and you persevere. And it's not that she didn't witness her faith to him. She asked other people to pray for him. She sent bishops after him. The bishops told her no. They said he's not ready.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you that, if you're not going to evangelize any heart by badgering, by guilting, or by withholding love.
Golly. Yep.
And there's so many things out in the world today that are grabbing your attention. You can do this for peace or happiness or good vibes or whatever, you know, because that's just what's being told at the moment. But St. Monica, so what do you recommend real quick? Because, I think we're running out of time. But
okay. Well, first off, start with your own prayer. Go to adoration. Present your heart to God and say, this is what hurts. And maybe make a daily discipline, if you can, of a prayer for your child that is far away, or your spouse, or whoever it is. Prayer and fasting. Offer a little mini fast But don't think of it as magic. It is a gift. You're offering this to God and trusting God to work his graces through your gift, through your suffering, and through what he, what this child needs. Ask for God to surround this person with friends.
Yes.
Ask for God to bless this person. Spend your energies praying for graces to pour down upon your child. And trust that that's happening and will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what your job is as a parent or as a person who loves somebody who is far from the faith.
It was such great insights. Maggie Green with the St. Monica Club, How to Hope, Wait, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved Ones. Maggie, where can we pick up a copy real quick?
Okay, well, the Sophia Institute Press is the company, is the publisher that puts it out. So it's there on their website. It's also available at most Catholic bookstores. And then you can also go to that place named after a very long river in South America.
Sounds great. Maggie, thank you so much for joining us. Dave Jr. is next. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Abortion, its rhetoric and its myths, is sustained by hypocrisy. As Afghanistan is forced to accept the assaults on women, the silence of noted feminists, including Vice President Kamala Harris, is stunning. Whether it is the Taliban or politicians like Andrew Cuomo or entertainers or simple thugs, stories at lifenews.com, seven in just the last few days, show that when women suffer, even under abortion-friendly predators, radical abortion-friendly feminists are silent. Attorney and bioethicist Wesley Smith is explaining how organ donation and medical killing are rapidly being merged. Early promises that medically arranged suicide and organ donations would never merge are being systematically taken apart, and those promises are broken. This is Life News Radio. The view, the accurate view of the human person, changes everything. The news you hear and see pertaining to the human person has the power to inform or misinform your opinions and what you do with the gift of life and what you allow your government to do. It's why we at this station offer news on the life issue. We hope you carefully assess what you hear, read, and view. Pro-life advocates pray every September at sites across the U.S. with NationalDayOfRemembrance.org, finding a place to join others praying for an end to abortion on September 18th is simple. Search on the web for National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. And a new kids book teaches the sanctity of life from the womb through disabilities to the elderly. Life News has the story of Little Lives Matter, from a series at Brave Books. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning again, and welcome to Wake Up on this Thursday morning, 7:35. Damian Colano along with Gabby Smith, Alicia Quibido, Jeff Blackwell, Karen Cotton, and the gang. And so glad you could join us. Going to be a wet day, so plan for that. In the meantime, David Dawson Jr., a regular here on Wake Up, is with us at this time, Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Our topic today, in being intentional about your morning routine. So, David, good morning, and are we part of that?
Good morning. You are this morning, that's for sure. Yes. Yeah, you know, I think one of the things, just thinking about the morning time, and typically, you know, especially on a weekday, but certainly weekends too these days, it is hard not to be just kind of steamrolled by the hectic, kind of get things moving and get out of the house. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really does. And I've been challenged with this a number of times, and it takes a while for it to stick and really get me to do something about it. But it's, you know, if I start that way, what I feel like is a victim of my circumstances. I feel like the day, as soon as I get up out of bed, the day is happening to me, mm-hmm. and I don't like it. And I'm trying to get control and trying to get my hands on it. But what that looks like is just moving, get things happening, and kind of fighting through the pain of being awake, fighting through the pain of having to, you know, check the boxes on the way out the door. Sometimes prayer becomes one of those boxes, unfortunately. And instead of being something that's fruitful, you know, it can be something that's like, all right, I got that done. now, all right, now God's not mad at me. Now I've got to make sure my boss isn't mad at me or my wife's not mad at me, you know. And,
you're kind of rough going through life making sure people don't get mad at you. Huh?
Exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
We ought to change the topic right here and now. I thought we were talking about daily routines. Is that your routine?
Right. That's right. Well, it's always, you know, it's something's going to motivate you to get up in the morning. And right. I think for a lot of us, it's not a positive motivation, right? It usually happens.
You're right. It could turn into that if you fall into that rut. Yeah.
That's right. So it's I think being intentional about it, especially when it comes to our routines, actually making decisions and making changes to our routines is always a whole lot harder than we think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about it, it's like, you know what, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier and I pray and I'm just going to sit in the quiet and just kind of put my life in God's hands. How hard can that really be? You know, I'm thinking about it and I can picture myself doing it. And then, you know, you wake up the next morning and it's not even on the radar, you know?
Yes.
That's true. And that's the challenge, right? Is getting, I always heard if you want a good daily routine, start the night before and go to bed when you're supposed to and not be a late night owl, which I have a tendency to be.
Yes.
But when I had kids, when the kids were at home, there's no way I didn't go to bed by 10:30.
Oh, right.
You know, I was in bed then because I knew I was getting up at 4:30 to get my day started.
Right.
But it's not about me. What are some good routines, Dave, before we wind up talking about all the bad stuff and nothing good?
Well, it's funny. Like I said, I think the hard part is actually making the changes because our brains don't want to have to think. Like we want to be in the most kind of like automatic we can be so we can spend our energy on, you know, bigger, more relational issues. We can kind of deal with people and interact with one another. And the logistics of our day can kind of be on automatic. Mm-hmm. So we're going to always fight to try to stay in a routine that we've already established. It's just it's a subconscious thing that we do. So to make a change to that requires that, like, I've got to be motivated, and it's usually got to be for someone else, or I've got to recognize it. For me, it was like, okay, if I don't do this well, if I don't get up and do something that's going to alter the way I operate and not make me feel like a victim and just angry at the world, then that's gonna, for the sake of my wife and kids, I need to be a better person. So that motivated me to say, all right, so I'm going to get up earlier and pray. So it started with me getting up earlier, set my alarm earlier, because I can do that. I can set my alarm and then I forget about it, but it's going to go off the next morning, whether I remember or not. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I'm going to realize, look, I need to go to bed earlier because it hurts, you know, getting up that early.
Yep.
Because I'll always have the excuse to say, well, you know, I'm not quite tired yet. I got a few more things I want to do. But after a while, that pain starts to remind me, like, and I'm tired, so I got up earlier. Now I want to go to bed earlier. So it starts to kind of, after a while, but I think the hard part is continuing to evaluate and recognize, like, I actually have control over this, and I want to have better control over this, and I want to continue to evaluate to see, is this working, is it not? Because I can actually change it. It's a strange thing. We forget that we can actually change these things, you know, that it's not out of our control.
Right.
And I think a lot of times when I bring this up for people, they're like, well, I could, but it's just so hard. I got this, I got that. It's just out of my control. And I think when we start saying it's just out of my control, that's when we get into trouble, because it's not. It really isn't. Regardless of our circumstances, if we feel like it's happening to us, if we're out of control, that's a rough place to be.
You know, waking up in the morning is so hard to do. It really is. But having something to look forward to, I look forward to turning on the Keurig every morning. You know, maybe it's taking your cup of coffee, getting on the couch, getting a fuzzy blanket, and starting your morning prayer or whatever you do in the morning, whether it's reading the news or social media or whatever your prayer routine is. Some people, it's in the evening. I look forward to doing that. So that's my motivation. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm excited to go to bed, but I get coffee in the morning because that just makes me happy.
but they say coffee and tea, either one, are good stimuluses to get you going and get your routine going. And and having something, you make a good point, and Dave, I'm sure you're going to elaborate on it, is waking up knowing you've got something positive to do in that day, whether it's a charity. And you should try to say, I wake up and say, okay, Lord, what you got in store for me?
Yeah.
You know, he's the first one I speak to because my wife's still sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get up, that's how I want to start my day, knowing I've got things to look forward to.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think a key point to what you're saying is that God does actually want to speak to us about what's going on today. A lot of times I think we have to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt, just assume that he's got good things, and I enter in hoping that things are going to happen. But for me, it was I was challenged to pray with Scripture on a daily basis. And I found that if I do that in the morning, first thing, to fight through the challenges of praying with Scripture, because at first it's hard. But after a while, you get used to the fact that, like, when I go to Scripture, God actually wants to speak to me every time. And it's not just going to be general principles about being a better person. It's going to be specific stuff. And if I let him and I give him the time, it's going to be specific stuff about my day and about what I got going on. Better than I know myself, he's going to respond to things that I need and desire. And, like, that ends up being something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. He's going to tell me something. I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but it's going to be perfect. It's going to be fitting. And you get used to that. It's very easy to want to get up and be like, all right, I'm coming. And I'm ready to hear what you have to say, because it's always so fitting. And I think a lot of times our image of God is that, like, he's going to come with some big challenge, and I just don't want another flipping challenge. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like, if we let him speak and we don't just assume what he's going to say, it's a whole lot different. God's a whole lot more gentle than we give him credit for. And he really does know us. He knows what we can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So, right? Dave, he's going to speak to us in a way that gives us hope. Yeah,
that's right.
Great. I think that is beautiful. But how do you convince people to block out that 15, 20, 30 minutes in the morning first thing? Yeah. Because mm-hmm. we always think we don't have the time to do it. But part of the routine is you have to make time, mm-hmm. and God will speak to you. And it's been a blessing for me, and I'm sure a lot of others too. But
yeah.
What's your little secret? What do you do?
Yeah. The key is, the reason we don't have time is because I don't want to have time. I've got time. If I got time to check the news, because what I want to get control of what's going on in the world. That's why we check the news. It's because I want that. And I feel like it's going to be helpful for me to get control over things. When God giving me something is going to be a whole lot more fruitful in giving me something that I can actually control. Because he knows what I can and can't do. I can't actually do anything about Afghanistan as much as I want to. I want to, but I can't. So I do need to know, but I don't need to check that first thing in the morning. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think the key is being able to give it a shot. If you give it a shot and fight through and you begin to feel and learn that God speaks, it's really not hard to make the time. You're going to want it. In the same way that, like, if I don't know my wife real well, we're not really doing really well, our conversations end up, you know, negative, it's hard to find time to be together. But when I enjoy her presence, I'm gonna fight for that time naturally.
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
Most of it's an image of God issue more than it is a time issue.
How true. Well,
yeah.
Those are words of wisdom there. And one other thing you got for us as far as routine?
Yeah. Yes, I would recommend, like I said, get up in the morning. And a lot of times we can kind of stack up all of the prayer things we want to do and get the boxes checked off. Pick one thing.
Yeah.
Pick one thing and do it well and sit and listen to God's voice in that one thing. I would recommend that it have Scripture somewhere involved in it, as opposed to trying to, like, have your book stacked up and do 10 different things to try to make sure you get them in the morning.
There you go. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Well, David Dawson Jr., thank you so much for being with us. Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. So glad you could join us this morning. Stick around. We're going to be back. It's 7:45 on Wake Up. It's 7:48 on Wake Up, Thursday morning. Good morning to each and every one of you. And yes, ask Our Lady of Prompts Tucker to intercede for us, to protect us from that tropical depression and disturbance out in the Gulf of Mexico, or soon be in the bottom portion of southern portion of the Gulf of Mexico. We'll keep you updated on that as tomorrow. We'll have more details. In the meantime, expect rain today. Scattered showers throughout our area. 70-80% chance of rain. Winds out of the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Temperature-wise, won't even hit 90 degrees more than likely today because of the rain. Lows are going to be in the low 70s tonight. And currently across our area, it is 80 degrees in Biloxi, New Orleans 81, Houma Thibodaux 76, 76 also here in Baton Rouge. And now?
Wow.
Yeah, that impresses you?
That impresses
me.
I wanted to make some moving off sounds,
yeah, I didn't know what that was all
me
about.
Dazzle me with your weather report.
Heck, what if I'd have said 74 degrees?
That would have really given you some.
It might come later in a few months. You just don't know.
I would have liked 74. I would have given you more oohs and ahs for that.
All right.
But we are joined this morning by Vivian Doudreau. Vivian is an editor with Ignatius Press, and she's joining us to talk about a new children's book called St. Joseph, Watch Over My Family. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning.
What a sweet book. Yeah. Before we dive into the book, tell us about the author.
Well, you know, I don't know anything about her.
Oh, okay. Sabine, is she French?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she is. A lot of these Magnificat partner books that we do at Ignatius, a lot of them are originating in France. Mm. Magnificat is owned by a French company, and they have partners there. And okay. Sabine Du Mesnil, who's the author, I'm afraid I don't know anything about her.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry to put you on the spot on that. I was just curious. I did not know that French connection. That is wonderful. So we're so fortunate to have this year of St. Joseph. St. Joseph, such a quiet man in our history. So wonderful that people are pulling out all these different ways to think about St. Joseph. And to have a children's book is lovely. So tell us about the book.
It's a small book, and a child can hold it in his hand very easily. It's hardcover, but and paper pages, but the paper is very sturdy. The book is divided; it's illustrated very sweetly. A lot of these books we're getting from France, the illustrations are just wonderful. And then it's divided into different parts. One telling us, what we know about St. Joseph from the Gospels, mm-hmm. and then another part, now that we know this from the Gospels, what do we know about it? How can we think about his character? And you mentioned silence, his silence and humility come out very strongly there. And then there's a third part with prayers that are suitable for young children. For example, there's a novena, but each day of the novena, it's just one simple prayer. These are short and sweet. And and then there's also some stories about St. Joseph being a tremendous intercessor. So taken all together, there's a lot here, even though it's not too long. It's beautifully illustrated. A small child can't read it on his own, but certainly this is the kind of book you can set your child down beside you or in your lap and help your family grow closer to St. Joseph.
Well, and I think it's also wonderful for children at a young age to learn to ask for those intercessory prayers. So really to ask to pray for others, not just their own needs. Sometimes mm-hmm. as little children, we can be selfish and what pray for what we need or what we want and really not have that big picture of others. So it sounds like St. Joseph, watch over my family, is a wonderful way for children to learn to pray for their family.
Right, and also to realize that the purpose of prayer is to be in union with God, and the principal way that we remain close to God is by hearing what he's trying to tell us and mm-hmm. heeding it. And St. Joseph is a great model for listening to God. In the Gospels, we see him hearing messages from God given through angels, and Joseph wasting no time in doing what the angels say. And so this obedience of Joseph, this humility and this listening, these are the main traits that come through this little book.
Oh, so sweet. So this book is geared towards children ages 7 and up. But as you said, you can curl up with a little one in your lap and read it to them. So it's divided into three parts. Who is St. Joseph? Learn from St. Joseph, and then prayers and stories. Will you tell us where our listeners could find a copy of this precious, precious book, St. Joseph?
If you have a local Catholic bookstore, that's great. We're helping to keep Catholic families in business who run little stores. And then we have a website, ignatius.com. And we also have a toll-free number, which now I don't remember what it is. But
that's okay.
So there's three ways that you could find this book.
Wonderful.
And, of course, other books, providers and so on, some of which we do not mention.
That's right. We always like to encourage our listeners to go to your Catholic bookstore, your local Catholic bookstore first. If they don't have it on the shelf, they can certainly order it, or check out Ignatius Press to get a copy of St. Joseph, Watch Over My Family. Vivian Doudreau, editor with Ignatius Press, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you.
This is so cute. That, I think it's so good to get your child started reading like this in a young age. When we start praying together, my son would always pray for all the pets. Every yes. pet that he had encountered in his life, he would name, and that would be who he would pray for. But, that's precious. That's just the fact that they're starting to learn how to pray for others.
And you could have introduced St. Francis.
That was going to say,
exactly.
St. Francis. That,
Hey, well, today is a good day for Caleb to pray for pets since it's National Dog Day.
Yeah, it's National Dog Day,
right?
So take your dog out for a walk.
There you go.
When it's not raining, don't leave them outside.
Do it now.
That's right. That's right.
Got to get it done early.
Right. Take care of those
hydrated.
Pets. That's right. That's
well,
right.
Are we ready to pray, ladies?
I think we should pray.
Okay. Well, let's do that to St. Joseph, as a matter of fact. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Joseph, help us to be like you. Help us to be obedient to the teachings of the Holy Catholic Church and faithful to God's commands. Help us to patiently endure our cross each day. Let us be a model of holiness and a pillar of virtue. We solemnly promise to embrace God's will and accept the challenge to work tirelessly for our family's salvation. Be our guide and companion on this journey, St. Joseph. Terror of demons, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, I'm excited for tomorrow's show. We have Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. He'll give us a recipe that we'll Alicia
will
try.
It's already. I didn't tell you about my taco bowl.
That will have Alicia oohing and eyeing.
Did you try the taco bowl?
We did the taco bowl. Oh, it was very good.
Oh, yeah?
I took a picture. I didn't text y'all, though, sorry. I can text it to y'all. It wasn't as pretty as the one in the picture. It was yummy.
Oh, well, Jeff Young, always looking forward to his segment. Birkin Graffia joins us with the Catholic Song Contest, so we'll get an update about him on how that's going. And I'm so excited because it's Gary Zimek Fridays once a month. We talk to Gary, and Gary's with followingthetruth.com, and he also helps with anxiety because he's a very anxious person. He is not afraid to tell you and how to get over that and focus on God.
He'll tell you how to stop worrying. That's right.
There you
absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.